Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Last week, I did a program about the Democratic candidate, Bernie Sanders. This week, I would like to finish up that program. Because the socialist agenda of Senator Sanders must be thoroughly addressed. Socialism is a dangerous movement in America. And as I mentioned last week, we will not lose our freedoms in America by civil leaders pushing for a return to Roman imperialism. It will come by an appeal to collectivism, to social responsibility, to social security. And when the Antichrist arrives on the world scene, as we read in Revelation 13, he will cause all, the small, the great, the rich, the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark. And you can be sure that his program will not be sold under the name of tyranny, but under the promised benefits of collectivism, socialism. And I don't believe that when the Antichrist arrives, he will gain power by putting a gun to anyone's head. I believe the people of the world, the leaders of the world, will willingly give their authority to the beast. Because their worldview will have been so changed from Christianity to secular humanism, they will want the government to take the place of God. They will see the government as their savior. Now, I plan to conclude this program with some more basic arguments against this lie of socialism. But I first want to cover some of Senator Sanders' policies, his platform. Bernie Sanders believes in a full implementation of communism and socialism, where the government controls and owns all aspects of production. That the only just society is a society where people are forced to do all business collectively under the auspices of government. You can read about all this in the Communist Manifesto. But in his campaign, Sanders has singled out four policies that incrementally move America towards socialism. Let's look at them. First, Sanders is promising a $15 an hour minimum wage. Currently, only 4% of the workforce, about 1.5 million people, earn minimum wage. And this promise of a $15 an hour minimum wage will entice everyone who earns a minimum wage and those who feel sorry for those who do to vote for Sanders. Who wouldn't want an immediate raise? But people do not understand the injustice of what they're demanding. Back in April of 2014, I did a program about the minimum wage, Program 128. But here's the bottom line. There is a need for a basic minimum wage to keep evil people from taking advantage of simple people. But a $15 an hour, $30,000 a year minimum, is part of a socialist plan to force companies to provide social welfare. The problem is that many jobs do not create $15 an hour worth of wealth. And to pay $15 an hour would be to pay people more than what they create in wealth. And as the saying goes, there's no free lunch. So this will result in layoffs. Employees can be replaced with machines. Walmart is already losing its business to Amazon because Amazon is more mechanized and uses less employees per sale than Walmart. Revenue per employee at Amazon is 3 times greater than at Walmart. And a $15 an hour minimum wage will result in more outsourcing of American businesses and jobs. America cannot compete with China's $2.90 an hour minimum wage. And that's a whole other issue. And by the way, let's remember who's at fault for this need to raise minimum wage. This is what's not being talked about. the government's overspending and its printing of dollars to pay down the debt has caused inflation. When I started working, minimum wage was $2.25 an hour, and you could buy a brand new car for $2,200. It's the government's fault that the minimum wage needs to be continually raised. It is not the fault of businesses. But regardless of these practical considerations, the downside of doubling the minimum wage from $7.25 or $7.50 to $15, this doubling of the minimum wage is based on socialism's erroneous understanding of human responsibility. In Switzerland, socialists have put on the ballot a referendum to guarantee every citizen an income of 30,000 francs. That's a unit of money, not hot dogs. And everybody will receive 30,000 francs, regardless of whether one works or not. Everyone starts with 30,000 because it's right. And that is the ideological, theological error. Christians hold to the personal responsibility teaching in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll look at that in a moment. But a second platform of Bernie Sanders is an increase in Social Security payments, which makes sense. If socialists are claiming that the bare minimum for survival is $30,000 a year, and the average Social Security payment is $14,000 a year, then Social Security needs to be doubled, just like minimum wage needs to be doubled. But the problem is that our current Social Security system is unable to meet current obligations. It's going bankrupt. So politicians, even Democrats, are not even considering raising Social Security. The fight is only trying to keep them from being cut. Good intentions cannot override reality. You can't pay out to people more than they paid in. Remember Margaret Thatcher's famous quote? The problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money. The third platform. Bernie Sanders wants to do away with the current Obamacare health system, where people are forced to buy private insurance, and replace it with a single-payer government healthcare system. No longer would people pay healthcare premiums. All healthcare would be free, but it would be paid for by a 6.2% payroll tax on all workers, a 2.2% income tax on high wage earners, and a tax on all stock market transactions. But just about every source is saying that Sanders' numbers don't add up. A single-payer government healthcare system would pretty much cost what you are right now paying to private insurance companies, most likely even more with less services. But again, regardless of the cost, giving the government all of our healthcare dollars is based on socialism's erroneous understanding of government responsibility and personal responsibility. Remember the prophet Samuel rebuked the people for wanting a government that would take your sons and your daughters and your fields and your vineyards and your flocks and give them to the government's servants so that the people would become the servant of government. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11. Are you aware of the political theory behind government taking over private activities? It goes like this. It's well known that the government can only tax anywhere between 20 to 30% of people's income before people lose disposable income and their incentive to work. And then economic activity and tax revenue begin to drop. People only have so much disposable income, and if the government takes 50%, every family has to live on the survival mode. No shopping, no new cars, no new furniture, no new clothing. It's a hand-to-mouth existence. So how then can the government expand with this economic law of a 20% cap on taxation? The answer is simple. you begin to take from individuals the activities that they were spending money on and give those activities to government. If families were spending 15% on healthcare, take that personal expenditure away from individuals and run it through the government. Then the government can effectively tax at a higher rate. And you can do the same with retirement and education and housing. And this is socialism. It's the ability to grow the government by the government taking on private activities. And the ideological foundation of socialism is that eventually the government should take all. A one-page 1040 form. How much did you make? Send it in. Now you might ask, why would people want the government to take control of their personal expenditures? Well, it's a desire to throw off personal responsibility. It's laziness. It's greed. And there's an aspect of deception. You see, the public only sees the short-term benefit of being relieved of personal expenditures, being relieved of having to make healthcare payments or make college payments. And the public doesn't see or believe that they will pay for this in additional taxes. They imagine that somehow in the end, it's the other guy or corporations who will pay the lion's share of the program. So the citizen voting for socialism thinks that somehow he's going to come out ahead in the end. Most people only see the immediate benefit and not the long-term burden. It's the same reason why people will go to a car dealership, pay $35,000 for a vehicle on credit, and ignore the pain of 6 years of $600 a month payments. You get the benefit right away with only one payment. So also with Social Security or healthcare or free college, you get it from day one, and let's not think about the future. And socialists know that people will sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. And since the disastrous results of socialism are so far off, the only barrier to socialism is principled people who believe it's intrinsically morally wrong to take from others. Now, the fourth platform of Bernie Sanders is free college tuition at public colleges and universities, not private or religious colleges. And of course, this ingratiates Bernie to many college students and to millennials. But given the fact that college students and millennials are all about protesting the one percenters and the elitists, it's really remarkable that they look the other way when it comes to this injustice of free college education. Only 30% of the population has a college degree. The other 70% either want jobs that don't require a college degree, or they can't handle college, or they want to learn on their own. So why should the 70% pay for the college education of the 30%? Are the 30% more important than the 70%? Is it necessary that the common people support an intellectual elite class? Poor people already get free college education in America. Did you know that? Between state and federal aid, everyone has a chance to go to college. But what socialists are proposing is making everyone pay for the college elite. Of course, many college professors have publicly posted their names on BernieSanders.com endorsing Sanders' College for All Act, because they want the government to force people to pay for their education product. If only McDonald's could force everyone to pay for hamburgers through taxation, then McDonald's would not have to worry about competition or about making a profit or about making a product that people want to buy. Free college tuition has to be one of the most selfish and egotistical policies being proposed today. A whole God and Country program could be dedicated to this fallacy and this danger of free college. So those are Bernie's four platforms: $15 an hour minimum wage, increased Social Security payments, single-payer government health care, and free college tuition. Now let's leave these specifics and get back to discussing What is intrinsically morally wrong with socialism? I started looking at this in our last program. And by way of review, I gave the illustration of Boaz, and I explained that collectivism, socialism, creates two classes in society, a working class and a bureaucratic overlord class, like the feudal system. The peasants work the land, and the lord of the land takes the fruit of their labors and redistributes it back to them as he pleases, along with taking a cut for himself. Socialism is about power and control. Second, I mentioned some of the pragmatic arguments against socialism, that in practice it results in shared misery and poverty. But that was insignificant compared to the injustice of the majority taking away the rights of the minority. Socialism is a violation of human rights. And social justice only comes about when you deny anyone, even the majority represented by government, from taking away the liberties of the minority, socially or economically. Now let me add a third argument against socialism, a very significant argument. Socialism empowers evil. Take, for example, Bernie Sanders' free college tuition plan. It's for public colleges, not for private or for Christian colleges. And the secular universities, which are effectively banned from promoting Christianity because they receive public money, have become the church of secular humanism. They are the propaganda arm of the Antichrist worldview. And how fair would it be if everyone was forced to pay the salary of secular humanist professors? That would be as unjust as the old European model of taxing everyone to pay for the church. So one of the main problems of a government taking over everyone's money so that we do things collectively is that it empowers evil. In Genesis chapter 1, God broke up mankind's plan for a centralized government because, quote, Genesis 11:6, this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. And so God divided up centralized power and control at the Tower of Babel. Because given man's default condition, sin, centralized control would favor the persecution of truth and the persecution of God's people. And that's why individual economic activity must not be given over to government. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, secularists fall for socialism because in their worldview, man is basically good. And therefore, collectivism and monopolized power will always result in good. They have no fear of tyranny. But Christians see human nature differently. And that's why we're opposed to big government and collectivism. In the book of the Revelation, the world ends in the apocalypse and in a global collectivist state run by the beast, the Antichrist and his global empire. The kings of the earth give their authority to the beast. And the people say, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war against the beast? And everyone, the rich and the poor and the freemen and the slaves, are given a mark on their right hand and their forehead. And no one is able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the empire, the beast. This is a command and control, collectivist, socialist economy. And it leads to the empowerment of evil. In fact, if you do some research, every socialist program in America today, from healthcare to education to retirement, has done more to empower evil than to fix social problems. I'll let you think about that for a little while. Well, it's because of this prophecy in the book of the Revelation. Christians are against big government socialism and collectivism. Knowing the depravity of man, we are opposed to big government. And of course, this is why Christians are called haters of the human race. Because government is not our God. It's not our Savior. We believe in individual responsibility before God. Now, this brings me to a fourth argument against socialism. The direct injunctions within Scripture that certain activities are not to be done collectively but individually. Socialism violates the law of God concerning individual responsibility. Now, you would think that the Bible would teach that the entire society needs to take care of the elderly. But 1 Timothy 5 states that the widows are not to be taken care of collectively by the church, but by the widow's family. The widow is not to be brought into the care of the entire community unless she has no family. The institution of the church, the institution of the state, is not to invade the responsibility of the institution of the family. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul states that people do not have the right to food if they do not work. Paul writes, "We did not act in an undisciplined manner. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We gave you the order, if anyone does not work, neither should he eat." Now, contrary to this, many socialists are teaching that food is a right. But Paul teaches that food is not a right. And if food is not a right, neither is health care or housing. Now, we might offer to people charity in this regard, but it's not a right. It's not something that needs to be done collectively. Paul is writing that we're not to take from the collective, but we're to meet our own needs. As Paul writes, "We did not take anyone's bread without paying for it." And this is the Christian ethic. We're not to be takers, but we're to work with our own hands so that we're not in any need. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. But if this is what God says, of course there's going to be people who would want nothing more than to relieve themselves of their responsibility by voting for a socialist government. I mean, the appeal to take care of ourselves collectively is compelling, but the Bible puts limits on collectivism. You may have seen this in the news, but the state of Maine recently required able-bodied people to do volunteer work before they could receive food stamps. And lo and behold, 80% of people on food stamps in the state of Maine dropped out. 80%. People are smart. Why work when you can get something for free? I mean, why plant a garden in your backyard and can your own food when you can go down to the grocery store and get Pop-Tarts for free with food stamps? There's a new documentary coming out called Poverty Inc. It's all about how international aid has destroyed the economies of many countries. Food aid to Haiti put Haitian farmers out of business. Socialism appears to be well-meaning, but they're not well-meaning in that they violate God's requirement of personal responsibility. A fifth argument against socialism. Socialism is built upon a wrong elevation of money, that money is the answer to everything. The error in Marx's theory of socialism is that the quality of life is measured by money, that money makes you who you are, and therefore the great problem with this world is wage inequity. But the Christian truth is that money has very little to do with your character, your mission, or even your quality of life. For example, I know people who live on $10,000 a year in the Ozarks who have a better quality of life than multimillionaires living in micro-apartments on Fifth Avenue. These millionaires are slaves to the system, while people in the country have open spaces, gardens, fresh air. Matthew chapter 6, "Observe the lilies of the fields. Not even Solomon in all of his riches was clothed like one of these." This appeal to class envy is such a lie. There's nothing to envy about the life of the rich. Why should we be interested in their money? Because the best things in life are free and inexpensive. The whole Occupy Wall Street was built upon the lie that money is necessary to a quality of life. But James chapter 1, "Let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and the rich man in his humiliation, because like the flower of grass, he will pass away." So those are just five arguments against socialism. Let me challenge you to investigate what the Bible has to say about collectivism and come up with your own list of truths in the Word of God that oppose socialism. But let me conclude with this basic principle. Remember, the world and the philosophy of the world ultimately brings people into bondage. The more America departs from God, the more freedoms we will lose. And it will not come by a call for tyranny. It will come under the subtle ideology of collectivism. But Christ and his ways set people free, economically, socially, emotionally, and eternally. John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Remember Pharaoh in Egypt, types of the world? He kept the Hebrews as slaves, but God wanted to bring them into the freedom of his service. We don't communicate this truth emphatically enough to the people who are of this world. Because the people of this world think they're free, but God and religion will make them slaves. So that people say, I would rather be free in hell than a slave of heaven. But God is not the cruel taskmaster. He is the most gracious, patient, loving master we could ever have. He wants to set us free from the slavery of sin. It's Satan and the world who want to kill and to steal and to destroy. Let me just remind you that today's program wasn't just about socialism versus individualism. It was about using these issues to show you that the ways of Christ are for your good, so that you come to Christ and to his truth, so that you can have life and have life more abundantly. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this message again, download it, or send me an email and request a free CD of this two-part program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may everyone listening today come to understand the lies of this world, a world that operates under the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. May they instead open their hearts to the truth of Christ and become part of your eternal kingdom of righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.